Hey guys, and welcome to the show today. It's going to be a fun one because today we are talking about a lot of different hunting strategies. And I think that people love to talk hunting, and it shows through what Jeff Sturgis, who joined us today, is working on. And I think that people really just find it important to learn everything they can about the great sport that they love. And Jeff is amazing at it. From Whitetail Habitat Solutions. Jeff, welcome to the show, my friend.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Dave. It was great to be on.
Yes, I'm really excited about this because as we're talking before, I started watching some of these videos that you've done, and I love this whiteboard idea and the tips and everything you're given for each thing. In fact, like I was saying to you earlier, I'm going to watch your whole December one coming up and, you know, just try to get myself some ideas on what to do and how to handle the situation with December, because it is a tricky month to hunt. And I don't know if people, right, like you said, the first thing you said on that whiteboard is giving up or, you know, question mark. And, yeah, and I agree. Like, I don't feel like necessarily going, but at the same time, I want to go. I just, it's like a mental game, like a workout thing,
oh, yeah,
right? It's like, oh, God,
oh, yeah,
what do I do here?
Well, I'll say too, sometimes you don't feel like going, but man, my last day of the season was on Sunday and I was depressed for a couple days. It just kind of, I like the planning. I like looking at the weather. I like seeing what's coming up, the days to hunt. And when it was done, it was kind of like, God dang it. But then 2 days later, we're out in the woods looking at new stand locations, checking out a bedding area, knowing we can't spook deer because no one's hunting anyways. It's like,
I think it's interesting, and I'm going to go back on your videos and watch some of the fall stuff, because I think it's very interesting when you think about like the difference in seasons we have as bow hunters specifically. Sure. I mean, you have the early season as soon as it starts, and then you it's kind of like a little bit warm, maybe a little too warm in some places, and then it kind of gets to this like kind of beautiful 50s, 60s, then it keeps dropping and dropping until today, like in Michigan, yeah, we're at like 30, you know? So it's like a huge difference between that original fall, beautiful day, and then today. And it changes a lot of things, right? Like vision, you could see way further now than you could see in early October, you know, or whatever, with the leaves, definitely. And pretty cool.
And that's where right now, those thick areas really stick out. And so where areas that could hold mature bucks in September, October, even early November, are not holding bucks now, and part of it's browse and part of it's cover. There's no stem count. So it's like when we're out on client properties, I've already had my first client trip for the year. It was five clients last week. And it's very telling when you look across their woods, the very few areas where you could expect to hold deer because there's just not that much cover.
Yeah, totally makes sense. So tell us about your Whitetail Habitat Solutions, the channel, and kind of what you do so people get a better idea.
Well, everything revolves around whitetail strategy. And so it's doesn't matter if it's on Instagram or YouTube, we put out 208 videos a year on YouTube. And with all those, when we're shooting videos, we shoot videos on average once a week, sometimes every other week. This last time we had to shoot 11 videos just to make up. Dylan and I weren't going to be able to get together to shoot. But the point is when we're shooting a video for late December, we want it to hit for what any person that's really cares about whitetail hunting, it doesn't matter if it's hunting, working on their habitat, that we hit what should be going on that week or that 2 week period. And so of course, when it gets into the season, what we're talking about during early October is different than what we're talking about on October 20th. And so we put videos out to try to match that exact timing. So if someone is really consumed with this 365, we give them everything. I personally like the hunting season because that's when we get the most views, the most comments. It's like a rat race. You know, I'm in the stand putting out videos in the morning. It's because I try to put them out in the morning, 4 days a week. And so, we try to hit that with Instagram, YouTube. For that, I have 5 books that I've published. We sell on our site, whitetailhabitatsolutions.com, and 4 web classes on the site too. And we have our own seed company. It's WHS Wildlife Blends, Pure Wildlife Blends is the actual name of the seed company. And that goes through the Food Plot Seed Company. We have wildlife planting seed in that too. I visit about 70 clients a year. This year I'll hit my 1,500th client in 26 states as a group. Dylan's been to over 300 clients. We're over 2,000 clients as a group. And I think that's in 34 states, 35 whitetail states, something like that. So that keeps us really busy, let alone all the social media and everything else. And then we have a lot of partners in the industry. So taking care of partners and Redneck is most of our partners. Redneck was one of my first in 2016, real big important partner. And then we've only changed two partners since that time. So I'm really loyal with my partners. For example, Matthew's bow. I can't say it's the best because I don't shoot any other ones, but I've shot it since 1992. So 92 is my first Matthews, and I haven't changed since. And so loyalty means something, and we try to work with only the best.
When you said the term clients, you're referring to going to like a person's land to check it out and help them understand the land and how to work it?
Yes. And so we go to private land. No game farms, anything like that. Our average client has about 100 acres, but I've worked on properties down to 5 acres, 8 acres, lots of tens. Say my average client has about 60 acres or less would be the average. As far as then you get all the ones that are 400, 300, 500, and they bring up the average a little bit. But we basically look at it, and the big thing about improving whitetail habitat is you have to do it in relation to how you would hunt strategically. So this isn't something you can learn how to plant habitat and change woods in a classroom and go out to a client property. You have to understand hunting intimately and how to get the most out of your property to hunt. If you don't make your habitat improvements like that, then we're getting a call 7 years later when they're about to sell the property and they wonder why it's not working because they're spending 10 grand a year on habitat improvements and it's not working. And so if you have habitat improvements that set yourself up to spook deer when you get on and off the property, spook deer when you get on and out, in and out of a stand or blind, then your property's gonna fail pretty quick. Deer spook a half mile. So on a 160 acre parcel, if you're in the middle, it's a quarter mile out to every edge. They're on the neighbors. So it's a big puzzle, and we work with them for the day, drop the design at the end of the day, and go over it for an average of about an hour, hour and 15 minutes, and record it so that they have about 20 pages of notes from that recording specific to their property and their questions.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's I can see that being very beneficial. I mean, to be honest, we have a lease ourselves that's very, I'm going to send it to you after this just because I think it's so complex and I wouldn't even, yeah. I don't even know if it's something you'd be look at it and you might be like, that's crazy. Don't even do that lease. You know, I don't know. It's like that weird.
Honestly, that the weird. If you look at an aerial and the more shapes, the more lines, the more colors you have on it, the more pockets, field versus woods, habitat, the better. Because then you're going to have a higher wildlife potential and let alone whitetail potential.
So since we're in December, and I do plan to launch this podcast right away, what tips can you give people about, besides watching your video, which I will link that below on this late season, but what kind of quick tips can you give on the show right now to people about this last couple weeks of December and January, because some people, like in Michigan, we have a January season till the end of the month. I think Ohio might have it too, but till the end of the month of January, we can use bow hunting. What's your thoughts on that? I guess maybe some quick tips for that.
Yeah, the one thing is this time of year, let's start out first is what I'd say follow the herd. And what I mean by that is the deer population start to get herded up right now because there's shrinking food sources. Consider all the ag, even around here, most of our neighbors' cornfields have been not only picked, but they've been manured and chisel piled. All the alfalfa's stemming yellow and dormant. So the deer that ate somewhere in October, November, traditional hunting times and rut time, they're not there. So on the other hand, where they're at, they leave a lot of sign. You get to see where they're at. We used to follow, like in Michigan, we hunt the flat area, the thumb area, Cass City area, somewhere around there, in those areas, Argyle Road, if you got anybody's listening. But in those areas, it was pretty flat. And the way we would hunt is we would see where they're going in the morning. We would see where they're even feeding in the afternoon. So, for example, they're feeding on one side of the wood lot. We would sneak in the morning on the other side, wait for them to come out. We would only go in the woods 10 yards because you'd spook them out if you went too far in, wait for them to come back in the morning. But then where the herd went to bed down, you see the tracks if we have snow a normal year. And we'd wait for those deer to come back out in the evening, get in a thick brushy area for them to come out. So really good opportunities following the herd, of course, not giving up. But then also there's morning opportunity. So when it's freezing cold in the morning, and that's the coldest time of the day, and I'm talking about well below.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Coriant. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Well below freezing, so it's 20 degrees in the morning, 18, 12. A lot of times deer are bedded down because they're conserving energy. So you try to go in the morning and beat them there, they've probably been there since 3 in the morning. So going into beside a bedding area, but not in the bedding area. For example, out here we have ridges. We'll go in on one side of the ridge knowing they're bedding on the other side. Maybe you're going into a conifer line knowing they're bedding on the back side of the conifer and you know how far you can sneak in the morning. And you're trying to find a small food source. It might be a cutover. It might be a blowdown or two or three or maybe some cuttings you made. It's a briar patch mixed with shrubs, hardwood regen. Maybe there's some red oaks that are still, there's some acorns still on the ground. But you're sneaking into that sometime after daylight so you can see, you get into that spot, and then you're waiting for that opportunity for those deer to come in and feed more mid-morning when it warms up and they can move around and conserve energy. Other than that, you're really hammering the food in the afternoon before dark, and I'm looking for those brushy areas that either might be the food source, but especially on the way to the food source, so that kind of transition area where deer feel safe. I'd mention too, kind of think of the half hour rule, and what I mean by that is if your does are getting to a food source that you're watching, doesn't matter if it's a cutover on public land, a food plot, an ag field, whatever it might be, a swamp edge. If they're getting there 45 minutes before dark, there's probably a good chance that any buck in the area that's going to feed on that food source will have time to come in. But if they're getting in there 20 minutes before dark, then there's probably not enough time for that buck to come in. So you need to adjust where you hunt. You're not sitting on the food source. You're sitting back in that brushy area, maybe 150 yards in. It's almost like you're getting behind where the does bed and in between where the bucks bed and waiting for that buck to come out. And you might be, in that case, you're probably 200 to 300 yards off that food source, thinking that buck is not going to move 3/4 mile when it's super cold in December and January. He's probably going to be within 200 to 400 yards. Think about that where he might be bedding, try to get in between there and the does. I saw that on a Kiske video a long time ago, and that always stuck in my head where they're after an 8-year-old buck. They had like 7 years of sheds. It was pretty amazing. Come into a food source with a bunch of does and other bucks after dark, hour after. So what they did is they went 600-700 yards back into some draw way off to the side, and they shot him like 10 minutes to go in shooting light as he was headed to that field a half mile away. So if you look at, that's kind of where you look at those bigger bucks. Think about that half-hour rule and really getting closer to that buck bedding area. Now, if you're just after does, that's a different story. You obviously, it doesn't matter if they get there 5 minutes before dark. You're just, pulling your bow back and shooting one. But think about that too. Think about where you can actually, you know, ask yourself, are these does getting here in time to allow a buck that's not bedded between the does and the food? He's well behind them. Is there enough time for him to get there?
There's a reason more pros choose Redneck blinds over any other blind on the market. Combining amazing quietness, scent control, and usability features, you have the ultimate hunting blind. Give them a call or check them out online at redneckblinds.com.
Dakota Silence, we're embracing better. Our focuses, revolutionary concealment, extreme silence, enhanced thermal efficiency, purpose-driven functionality. Unheard, unnoticed, uncompromised.
Last year, Reveal by Tacticam quickly became the most sought-after scouting camera in America, making cellular scouting available to any hunter. We ask our users how we can make this outstanding camera even better, and this is our answer. Introducing the all-new Reveal X. Even easier setup, better battery life, faster trigger speed, on-demand HD photos, extended detection range. This season, find out what all the buzz is about. Get a new Reveal X by Tacticam.
Yeah. And those are great, great points. And I was going to say, and so like with the late season, you know, you mentioned like it's cold out, you want to go and all that. And it made me think of Redneck, you know, because I was like, well, technically, if I get one of those blinds, I'm definitely not cold. There's no way around it. They're so nice. But where do you use the Redneck blinds on your properties? And what do you recommend to people who are looking to get one of them?
What I try to recommend with the Rednecks, and when you have a nice, beautiful, expensive blind like that, or let's just face it, someone's making their own treated wood, shingled. I did that before in the UP of Michigan. I think it was 4x6. Black carpeted indoor carpet on the inside. We had drip edge, ice and water shield. I spent a lot of money in that blind. We sat in it three times because it was in the wrong spot. So it's anchored to the ground. You know, we're going to cut it off at the legs and move it. We didn't have the resources to do that. So bottom line is I like putting those blinds. You know, you have to be a little bit thoughtful in the strategy that you might want to move this blind someday. So that's a good thing about a portable blind, like a Redneck, where you can just move the stand. A second thing too, where we're installing those, I usually want a long range gunshot and a short range bow shot. The short range bow shots, we're on a corner where, yeah, we can shoot out in the fields, we can shoot further in the woods, but a lot of ours that are close range, we're on water holes. And water holes, mock scrapes, small food plots, where there's a small food plot we're watching, but we can shoot the big food plot over there at 100, 150 yards. If you're setting up for a gunshot and you feel completely, most people could feel completely comfortable shooting out to 200 yards, especially when they have a rest. So if you feel comfortable shooting out to 200, why are you putting it 5 yards away from your food source and spooking deer every time coming in and out? So think of it this way. Short range bow shot, you can take that long shot, our water holes freeze up. So they're not hitting the water too much anymore. Jen went in with a muzzleloader a couple weeks ago. You can check that out, one of my shorts, with a crying, screaming Jackson. He's 20 months old, and she shot her buck at about 100 yards out, and people think, you know, well, that's just too easy. Well, we had bedding areas that we cut nearby. We had switchgrass to hide us for a half mile or a quarter mile, getting in and out of that blind. We had a tunnel through the switchgrass. We continually mow and plant, so it's quiet getting in and out. We had shrubs planted by the Redneck to keep it wall screened so we can climb up the ladder without spooking deer. The food source at closest is 80 yards away. So the point is that if in your best setups for a long distance gunshot, think about, can you have a crying, screaming kid in that blind and still get a good shot? And if that's the case, a lot of planning and strategy goes into it. But to me, that's how you use these blinds, so that you're hunting from a pillbox. It allows you to get in and out and not spook what you're watching. And so every time we're setting up a Redneck now, I'm always thinking, can we put a water hole? Can we watch a small food source while getting a shot at the big one? Where's the mock scrape go at bow range? Water holes at bow range too. How hidden is the Redneck? It doesn't mean it needs to be on a 15-foot stand. It means that it needs to not get out of the cover. So we have areas, we have two that are set up, three. They're on 5-foot platforms. One's behind switchgrass and two are behind gray dogwood. So the switchgrass and gray dogwood gets up almost to under the window, but that means we can climb in and out of them without spooking deer that are 30 yards away out into the field because they can't see us. We can't see them until we look out the window. So that's how much I like to hide them. Where if we put those blinds on 10-foot platforms there, they'd be silhouetted and deer would watch us climb up and down. It works great on the outdoor channel. Sit in the middle of a food plot shooting a big buck. A lot of you don't realize that a lot of those hunters, and I know them, they're hunting those spots two or three times a year, and they have dozens, if not hundreds, of those spots, and they literally can let them set, and some of them aren't even hunted for 2-3 years because they don't have a buck they want to shoot on them. Even though there's a 7-acre food plot, they have bedding area, and they're really not hunting. So when they walk in, those deer have no clue. That is not the same in Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, even portions of Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, Pennsylvania, New York, you know, these, and over to the Northeast, where you have high hunter density. We like to hide them, give us a short shot, and then that long shot. So I hope that helps, but it's kind of, we love the blinds, and we go back and forth on where we hunt. We basically just let the sign and the game tracks, or the game cameras and the, we use Reveal, but we let the cameras and the sign tell us where we want to hunt that day based on the wind. So
it's awesome. Jeff, thanks so much for being on, man, today. I appreciate it. If you guys want to learn more, Whitetail Habitat Solutions, you can check out. I'll link everything for Jeff below so you guys will be able to get to it pretty easy. But thanks again, man. I appreciate it, and I appreciate the late season information because, like I said, all of us who are ready to get back out there, it's time, you know. It's very, very much time. Thank you, man.
Yeah, you're very welcome, Dave. Hope it helps.
Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.